I'm excited and I feel relaxed and I'm ready to party!
Welcome to the podcast of those two girls.
Here we go.
Scott.
Yes.
You potentially did my most hated type of selfie last night on your Instagram account, which was the bed selfie.
I wasn't in bed.
I'm nearly asleep.
I wasn't in bed.
I'm not.
Scotty McDonald on Instagram. If you want to check it out, chuck it a like. You'll enjoy it a lot. I was on my couch. But what else would you have used for the post I did?
No, it was a good post. I enjoyed the content of it.
So did I. And the comments have been great.
I just covered your face as I read it.
Is that the only time you've done that?
What?
I mean, sometimes during the radio show, I just hold my hand up so I don't have to look at you. So I only see
my glaring. I am concerned about your sleep hygiene.
So am I.
I know the pain.
So am I.
You need to sleep.
Yeah.
You need to get some magnesium into you.
Had never known about the magnesium.
The magnesium
thing.
Is a revolution. Are you putting socks on your feet?
No.
Okay, that's your next
You know
tip.
What? Can that be the hook? Let's touch this at the end of the podcast.
If you aren't sleeping, if you have sleep issues and you don't have socks on your tootsies.
Lise will explain why.
I will tell you why now.
In about 20 minutes.
Yesterday night, as Maxie would say.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
Getting some sad news through the last 5 minutes or so. Luke Perry from Beverly Hills 90210 has died after he apparently had a massive stroke last week.
He was young, like 52.
Really?
Yeah, that's my entire early teens. 1990 to 1995, Dylan McKay. 90210.
I was never allowed to watch it.
Oh, it was just the
best,
Sarah.
I would desperately try and sneak and watch the episodes and get all the TV hits with the posters of the Peach Pit gang.
I loved the Peach Pit. Dylan. That's really sad news for his family.
Which, and also leaves us in a really awkward position going into this next story, which isn't sad news.
I mean, good transition, mate.
Well, look, to cheer ourselves up after that sad news, someone's returned a library book 51 years late.
Yeah.
50. Why would you bother? And he's sent in. So this kid stole a magazine, stole a copy of Life magazine. Remember that one?
Yeah. It did have a picture of the Beatles on it.
Yeah, back in 1968, a coveted edition of Life magazine, obviously, back then. And he's returned it to the county library, the public library that he stole it from, complete with a $100 check for late fees.
What's happened to this person? It's beautiful that it's an honest situation, but I take umbrance at the amount of late fees
correct.
That he's returned because I returned some books last year and it happened to be while Mum was with me and I had late fees to pay that were $57 and I couldn't even tell Mum. Now, I've worked it out. I've done some quick math and I think it works out to be about $24 a book over a year. Based on what I paid. And if you times that by 50 years, old mate should have sent a check for about $1,200 Australian.
Okay.
It's about $1,500 American. So $100. He's actually got off scot-free by nicking a book 5 decades ago.
Do magazines incur a lesser fee?
I don't know. I think
than a hard
look,
cover.
I'm not a librarian. I know I look like one, but I'm not a librarian, so I can't confirm. But look,
my question
is... He's a winner either way.
I appreciate his honesty, but, I mean, library books are... I lose a library book the minute I take it out of the library. How on earth has he held on to a bloody magazine for 50 years?
Also, he should have been much smarter and just returned it at Christmas time because often libraries have appeals where if you just bring a tin of non-perishable food, then they'll waive your late fees. I mean, that's what I should have done too, but I didn't. So I'm
what
passing.
A life hack.
I'm rarely a rebel, Lise, as you know. But if I can pass on one thing from my crime of amassing library fees,
I mean,
till Christmas to take them back.
This is a book right here. Public library hacks with Sarah Wills. Thug life.
I'm writing it down, actually. Thug Life. Any publishers listening, you know where to find me.
Do you reckon the library ever wanted it back? No, do you reckon it went straight to the bin?
You know, when I think of magazines, I mean, it's probably been like sitting in his toilet for years.
Yuck, Sarah! Oh, why? Why? You always say that we're not crass.
That's what some people do with their magazines. So I've gone into some people's houses, they have piles of magazines in there.
And when you say some people, you mean yours.
Not mine. No. Please, we've got phones. Look, I think I know my children very well. I do. And I think I know when they're trying to pull the wool over my eyes, which is what I thought happened on Friday morning when my youngest daughter, who is 5, woke up and said, "Oh, Mum, my throat's a bit sore." Actually, she didn't say it like that. She's like, "Mum, my throat's a bit sore." And I said, "I can tell you're just putting
like
on. I can just tell you're putting on a croaky voice." And I thought, "Look, it's Friday. You're tired. You've recently started prep. You're an emotional cripple. Come this time of the week, as you begin your new life in the school institution, I understand you want a day off school, but that's not how we roll here." So anyway, she sort of came good throughout the morning while we were getting ready. And then when we walked into school, she said, "Mom, I've still got a funny voice."
And you're like, "By the power of Christ."
Yes. So I waited for her to line up to her classroom. And I thought, will I just tell the teacher that I'm all over this? So I walked up to her new teacher and said, you know, "Hi, Sarah here. Look, I just want you to know that my daughter is telling me she's got a sore throat and she's talking in a croaky voice, but 100% she is bunging it on. She's just tired at this time of the week, but I just want you to know that I'm over it. I'm across it." Anyway, the next morning my daughter woke up with croup, croup itself isn't contagious, but it's like this barking seal cough and you need to get them on steroids. And I just felt like the biggest idiot because I'd put myself out there with the teacher and said she's bunging it on. And also I didn't believe my child. But then I thought, hang on, this runs in your veins, Sarah. Remember when you were a child and your own mother didn't believe you? I'd had sharp pains in my side and my dad used to work. He was FIFO in mines. And I said, "Mum, oh, my tummy. And she said, "You're just excited because your father's coming home tonight." And I was like, "Right, that must be it. It must just be butterflies because I'm so excited to see Dad." Dad came home and she said, "Sarah, get up and do your new jazz dance for Dad." I stood up in the backyard, all the plastic chairs around us. My grandparents were there and I went to do a side kick. Crumbled to the ground like a sack of potatoes. And Mum, that was the moment Mum realised that I was sick because I couldn't perform. Now, this was a rumbling tumbly that had gone on for months and I was on the operating table that night. So I ask you, 13 10 60, when didn't your parents believe you?
Let's do it.
Have you ever been in that position?
As the second child, my parents didn't care about me at that point. But my eldest sister, had to endure such treatment. She was trying to get on her little pantaloons, her little trousers, when she was only
pantaloons. Were you living on the prairie?
Actually, we were on the farm at that point. She was trying to get her little trousers on, and as the eldest child, my mum used to put a lot of, you know, responsibility on her. "Hurry up, get dressed. Yeah, I've got to look after Lee's here. You do your thing." And she'd say, "No, Mum, something hurts. And Mum said, "Get your pantaloons on, stat. Hurry up." Anyway, turned out there was a nest of wasps in the pantaloons, and my poor big sister got repeatedly stung.
I mean, in fact, I think that was the last time pantaloons were ever worn in Australia because of that incident. All right, 13, 10, 60, when didn't your parents believe you?
Mine lie on a daily basis. I never believe.
Right, so we're asking on 13, 10, 60, when didn't your parents believe you? Logan, come on, tell us your story.
Hello.
Hi.
I was probably about 7 or 8 and I fell off my bike and broke my arm.
Right, Logan. And what happened? I'm assuming you told your parents straight away.
Yeah, I was crying and they wouldn't take me to the hospital.
When did they realise your arm was broken?
Probably a day later when my sister came home.
Why? Why your sister? Was she the one that sounded the alarm?
I think she just believed me.
Okay, well, it's good that someone in your family's got you back. Although I have heard worse stories of broken bones going undetected for, you know, a couple of weeks before people take it seriously. Anyway, Hayley on 131060, when did your parents not believe you?
Hi there.
Yeah. Hayley, have you fallen off a bike yourself?
No. Sorry about that.
Okay, you're right. When did your parents not believe you?
So I was 10 and I grew up in rural New South Wales and I was sick, like vomiting, and my mum still sent me to school. And we were 3 hours from hospital. I got to school and I was vomiting bile. And the school nurse gave me some lemonade and called my mum, who then took me back home, still not believing me. And I had a burst appendix.
Oh, next level, Hayley. You and I should sit together.
Oh, God.
I mean, the old appendix thing, Liz, you can't really. I mean, she's being quiet here, but that's because her husband had a very similar situation.
Yeah, my husband
last year
was on the verge of a burst appendix, Hayley, last year.
Pretty horrendous.
And I didn't, I it sounded like I didn't, well, yeah, I didn't believe him. I didn't. I ended up having to drive him to hospital and I was miffed.
It was the night of Harry and Meghan's wedding.
That's
and you
right.
And I were supposed to be going somewhere to watch it, and
that's
the text
exactly
message came
right
through.
I was like, couldn't you tell me earlier that you were going to burst your bloody organ? Meghan.
On 131060, round us out here. Tell us a time when your parents didn't believe you.
I was about 6 and I had the worst pains in my leg and knee for weeks and weeks. And my parents just thought that I was being lazy and didn't want to walk anywhere. And they finally took me to the hospital, to the doctor, and I got an x-ray, and the doctor referred me straight away to a specialist. And it turned out I had a disease called Perthes disease, where the hip socket actually dissolves because not enough blood circulates the hip socket.
Oh, God, so it turns out you had a rare hip disease.
Really rare. So I had to relax my hip and be on crutches for like 3 months, and then I was in traction in my bedroom for 2 weeks before I had surgery. Pretty instant, straight
Well, Meghan, I suppose you were just being lazy in your bedroom then,
really,
weren't you?
I was being lazy. Yeah, they thought I didn't want to walk anywhere.
How did they make it up to you? Did they even bother?
Oh, so when I was in hospital and had my surgery, I had to go to Sydney for it, which is 2 hours from where we live, and Mum and Dad literally did not leave my bedside. And they'd bring me, like, presents and toys every single day.
So yeah, they should.
I hope you just tap your hip every so often when you want something from your Mum and Dad these days,
and
Meghan.
Then growing up past that, my older brothers, every time they come near me, I was like, you hurt my hip!
That's the way to do it. Okay, well, I feel a little bit better. There are plenty of instances where parents don't believe their kids.
Look, moral of the story.
Meghan does sound lazy.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
Well, you can thank me for this because there's been an article that I've been gobsmacked by.
Right.
Okay, now it's going to change your life if you're somebody like Lee's and me, who love IKEA, love a weekend trip to buy some flat packs that ultimately end up, you know, questioning the strength of your marriage when you get them home and try and put them together.
I mean, love is a strong word for weekends at IKEA, but okay, I'm rolling with you.
Now, we've all been saying IKEA completely incorrectly. It's wrong. We are doing an Aussie thing on it.
Okay.
It's actually pronounced.
Can I try it? Can I guess?
Yeah.
As a French woman, I would say it's IKEA. Yeah. IKEA. That's how the French say it.
IKEA.
No, Sarah.
IKEA.
No,
IKEA. IKEA.
She can't. IKEA. It's her article, but she still doesn't have it.
Because my mind is warped with IKEA. IKEA.
IKEA. Is the way we're meant to pronounce it, as a Swedish.
Well, I mean, I don't know how you can say because you were French, you know how to pronounce Swedish. They're very different languages.
But you're saying like Aussies pronounce it IKEA. Well, French pronounce it IKEA. Like we put the syllable, the emphasis on a different syllable, so it sounds different. IKEA.
It actually just sounds like you're trying to vomit.
Like a cat with a fur ball.
Yeah.
IKEA. Okay, but it's not pronounced either of those words. It's IKEA. What? This hurts my brain. Can we stop?
You know what? Forget I said anything. Just say it as IKEA. All right? Problem solved.
But it's actually IKEA. IKEA.
Also, I love the Henneys bookcases.
Shrove Tuesday. Pancake Tuesday today.
Indeed.
I mean, pancakes are the very best, but do you know what's better? Tuna bake. Guys.
Okay, that was random. Can you no, it's not set random. The scene
I
for us,
said
please?
Before the break, there is one dish that divides the nation, and that is tuna bake. Mm. I feel it's on menu plans in family households around the country, and I served it up to my family last night. I really put a lot of love into it. It's not something that used to be on my parents' sort of rotation.
Oh, it was on mine.
Because we were French and that's too basic for the French. So I didn't eat tuna bake growing up. But I am making my kids and my husband eat it, and it is a hit in our household. I make a good tuna bake, and I think it's underrated. I think it's healthy. You can make it healthy. You either love it or you hate it. Look, we love it.
I agree with you, but I can remember as a kid being forced to eat tuna bake and just hating it, just thinking it was just fish slop, right? But as I transitioned to probably over 30, I gained a new appreciation for tuna bake. In fact, it's the dirtiest recipe in my book,
which is
always a sign, right?
When it's a go-to.
It's a go-to.
But do they like it?
They always begrudge eating it, but I think just bide your time. I mean, I even put cornflakes on the top of mine.
Okay.
It's very 70s. It's very retro.
I'm confused why we're talking about tuna bake.
Well, Scotty, do you like observations?
See, producer Aaron.
This isn't going anywhere. I'm just going to press it.
Our 23-year-old producer said that it was a demographic thing, that it's because
I think you are foregoing taste for convenience.
No, my kids had two helpings last night. Two helpings.
It's quite a process to make it.
Two helpings of anything.
It does divide the nation, because even though it's on the table in families across, it's not in any restaurants, is it? You
no,
can never go
it's a budget
and order a
meal.
Sneaky tuna bake.
Listen, pancakes and tuna bake. That's your menu for tonight. Thank you.
Breakfast
You're
shows
welcome.
Up.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
Okay, so are we at the end?
Yeah, we're at the end
here?
Of the podcast.
Okay, so the very best tip I was given as a sleep aid when I was suffering from, what's it called?
Are you awake?
Insomnia. I don't know. What's it called? Insomnia. Okay. Socks on your feet.
Why?
Because the body, first, two reasons. The body will feel the cold first in your feet. Even if you're not uncomfortably cool, the body doesn't shut down properly and relax until it feels comfortable.
That's why babies always need socks on their feet covered.
So last night, for example, Scotty, I had trouble falling to sleep. I got up, went to my sock drawer, put some socks on, fell asleep within minutes. Wow. It makes a big difference, even in the summertime. Secondly, it's also a security thing, a psychological thing. If your feet are covered, there's something weird. It dead
security,
set works.
Safety.
Yeah, safety. You feel your body feels safe.
Wow.
So try that. Socks on your feet. Then get yourself a good magnesium supplement. It'll take a few weeks.
Oh.
Well, then you've got to start.
Then get someone to swaddle you. So get your girlfriend Kim. All right, just lie on the bed, one arm
in
up.
Giant.
Put the blankie over, one arm down, swaddle. So you're in a cocoon. Okay? And
you
then
need
see how you go.
Get
also
an
a
eye
bonnet
mask.
To keep the warmth in. Just a bonnet. Okay.
Get an eye mask and some ear plugs.
Really?
100%. It's a game changer.
Don't the earplugs hurt after a while?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, they are annoying, but
no,
they get you to a point where even if they fall out during the night, you're already asleep.
You need to black everything out. You're having trouble. You're having sensory issues. You are. That's what it is, guys. You're too awake. You need to block your senses. I'll get you a freaking tank. One of those flotation tanks. Go and sleep in that.
I love those.
Okay? So there,
Maybe
invest.
Maybe I should go have a sleep in one of those this afternoon.
You need sensory deprivation.
Yeah.
That
Socks
would
on
not
your feet.
Relax me in one, any way.
Have you been
way,
in a
No,
dip.
I'm not. I am keen.
I've been in one.
Have
they're great.
You?
They're amazing.
My only issue is, do you feel claustrophobic?
Nah, they're too big for that.
Are they?
But then again, I've never felt claustrophobic.
Oh, well.
No, actually, I do. Yeah, they're quite large though. Like you can stretch out. Like I fully, I can fully.
But like does what would go through my mind if what if someone locked me in there forever?
Well, you'd get prune fingers off very.
What if someone locked us in here forever?
And then filled the tank. See, I don't think I could relax.
You can leave leave the hatch open.
But like, how do you know it's open?
What do you mean the hatch? Isn't it like a big swimming pool that's in the dark?
No, you have to climb into a freaking like water coffin.
Some of them are like that, but most of them are like
they're water coffins.
A freaking water coffin.
And you can leave the hatch. I mean, this is sounding not.
The hatch is like imagine a hatchback of a car boot.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
But I would need security that it is like locked, like pried open.
Well, you can lock the door into the room.
Okay. But then what if there was a poltergeist that locked the hatch?
Let me show you what
that
look
like. And then put a hose into...
So that's it. Like it's big.
So you can leave that thing open? You can leave the shell open?
Yeah. I thought it was actually a great big pool.
No.
No, some of them are like
everyone floated around
on donut rings. No, not everyone. You get your own. No, Sarah.
And it's like my version of open water playing in my head, but in the dark.
Why would that be sensory deprivation?
Guys, do you know what? I didn't tell you.
So that's one like what you're talking about.
Sort of,
I didn't tell you. What was that shark movie with... The chick from Gossip Girl.
Jaws?
No.
Shallows.
Okay, guess who I met the other day? The woman who plays the mother in Shallows.
No one cares.
I care.
Where?
At a party.
At a party?
Yep. She did. She was
at
cast.
At a party with movie stars?
What's the actress's name in Shallows?
Blake Lively.
Okay, she was cast because she looks so much like an older version of Blake Lively.
Because I always think that whenever there's big actors and they do child flashback scenes,
yes,
like there are kids that are purely cast because
they
look like that.
Absolutely. Well, she was cast because like it wasn't a huge speaking role. There were only a few scenes. It was shot in Australia, and she has a striking resemblance.
Can we talk about the fact that Aaron's old high school car park is being used to shoot a movie at the moment?
What car park? Park.
Aaron's what old movie? High school one.
What movie?
I feel like the most important question in that was not what car park.
Sorry, I actually
meant Godzilla vs. Kong.
Godzilla vs. Kong. I love massive animals.
That's why you've got a great day. Yeah, it's the car park of his school. I heard it on the news last night because they said all the students from the school, they've like turned the car park into a street in San Francisco.
Oh my God.
And so all the students from the school like, OMG, look at that. It's the most that they said. They said it's the most exciting thing that's happened at that school since one of the students went on to produce a national radio show.
Aaron.
Hey. Who would... Queensland Premier is an alumnus, so...
Didn't Sophie Monk go to your school?
You know when we do... You have to talk on the microphone. You have to talk into the talking stick.
I'm tired.
Who are the actors in Godzilla versus Predator? Who? Godzilla versus King Kong? Who are they?
Well, there's a giant monkey.
A lizard.
And a giant lizard. They were hard to cast.
Okay, it originally came out in 1962.
Oh, well.
Now it's slated to come out 13th of March 2020.
Yes.
Adam Wingard's directing it. We've enjoyed a lot of Adzi's work. And... Ben Sorensen is obviously the cinematographer, as
tell
we've
me
said
the
before.
Actors.
Oh, for goodness sake, I can't find them, obviously.
I don't know if they're going to be huge names, are
Hold
they?
On a second, I'm just looking up what else.
Look, if The Rock was in Rampage.
Did you know the director of this Hollywood film, Adam Wingard, is younger than you guys?
Oh, shivers.
What have you guys done with your lives? Question worth asking, isn't it?
Like, is Jason Momoa in it? Then I'm interested.
Okay, starring Thank Alexander God. Skarsgård.
Oh, shut up, I love him.
Millie good. Bobby Brown.
Who?
Rebecca Hall. Brian Tyree Henry.
That's
why does everyone have three names?
Sean Gorey. Eliza Gonzalez.
Sean Gorey. I am Jessica Sean Gorey. Are we getting breakfast this morning?
No, I'm going to Pilates.
Julian Dennison, who looks like he's Aaron's age. Kyle Chandler.
This one.
And Demian Bichir.
And then at the very end, Aaron Sokolenko.
He would too. He would
Aaron,
be starring in a movie.
Put your name down as an extra.
Aaron
you
would
get
be starring
by
in a movie.
Because,
you know what? He'd sign up as an extra, and in the end, he'd end up directing the whole movie because that's how Aaron works.
It's shot in Hawaii and Australia.
He'd end up managing the entire green screen and all the special effects. I'm like, do you have any actual qualifications? No, I just know how to do things.
All right, we should go and get breakfast.
Thank God.
Have fun at Rita Ora tonight.
Thanks, I'm bringing a chair. I mean, there's no concert I'm going to that I'm standing up to. I'm not standing.
What song are you most looking forward to?
Let's Get Physical.
Why are you going?
Did she do that one that's
sings,
like, one, don't pick up the
no,
phone. You know,
no, that's Dua Lipa.
Oh, okay.
Thank Rita Ora sings, wish that you would let me love you.
Oh, what's the matter?
What's the matter with me?
And then she also sings.
Where's she from?
What? She's English.
How would she talk?
Her mother is an opera singer.
If she saw you and said, hi, Lise, how are you? How
I mean,
would she
we
say
interviewed her.
We did interview her.
Breakfast.
She's a nice girl.
But how would she have said, hi, Lise, how are you?
I don't know.
Hi, Lise. Like that.
No, you go, Lise.
No, you know how I feel about accents.
You go.
No.
You have a go. Come on, Lise.
No, I haven't eaten. No. Okay, what else does she sing? Get me in the mood. What else? What's her other song?
It's 13 hours away, but get her in the mood now.
I don't want to hear sad songs. Yes. Yes, Rita. What else? There's another one. There's a ballady one. Isn't there?
Oh, you don't know that one.
I don't know that one. I'm going to have to learn it in the car. On the way. What else?
Oh, are you one of those people who pretends to learn all the songs at the concert?
I love this one. This is the ballady one I meant.
I want to call it a ballad.
Bringing my camping chair. Or a little fold-out stool that's a little less.
If Rita was like, good idea that you brought a chair, how would she say that to
no,
you
No, I'm not. You're not recording me doing an English accent.
Just one shot, just one attempt.
No. Unless you're going to buy me a pancake.
I'll buy you a southern pancake.
What's a southern pancake? The Dalmoiki is convinced over 45 sheep have been stolen.
What accent was that again?
Irish. All right, have a good day. Bye.
Well, that was a podcast of Those Two Girls.